Well, I believe I have a message from the Lord tonight, and we'll just get right to it. A word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to come together in your precious name. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to every heart here. Lord God, I pray that, Lord, we wouldn't go through this exercise of studying your word and seeking your truth just as a means, O Lord God, to an end. But Lord, that you might do a work in us, Lord God, and conform us and shape us more and more into the image of your Son. Father, increase our faith tonight. Lord, reveal your Son to us and your truths to us, Lord, that we might not only be hearers of your word tonight, but doers also. These things we pray, Lord, that you might be exalted and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. You know, this recently I was kind of struggling and going back and forth with a lot of things, and this particular word that I believe the Lord has impressed upon my heart is a heavy one. And I pray for his help tonight, because it's a very difficult thing to bring forth, and I hope it speaks to the hearers and edifies you. But first and foremost, I know it was for me, and that's where it's very humbling. And I'm very afraid. There's not too many things in this world that I can be afraid of, but I'm very afraid. I'm very scared. Because of this revelation that, you know, you can read the Bible over and over and over, and for the last, I guess for me, about 14 years, you read this book, and then there's always something new that God, and at a point in time when he feels you're ready, or you're in that place where you can receive it, through trials, through tribulation, whatever it may be, but boom, he gives it to you, and his timing's perfect. You know, my great-great-grandmother used to tell me that, you know, she was a slave, and she always used to say, you know, the Lord never seems to be there when you want him, but he's always right on time. And I thought, how important that is. You know, we seek the Lord, and he just never seems to be there when we want him, but what he has for us is always at the right time, always in the right moment, and he has you in a place where he knows you will receive it humbly. And this is one of them for me, so I pray for the Spirit's help tonight. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God. Draw near to hear, rather than to give sacrifice of fools. For they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and the fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was in error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God. I thought, this is an interesting passage, and this actually is the passage tonight to speak on, but I thought I'd start there because where my greatest fear is, and where there's much power, and there's much to give, and there's much to answer for, is by what we say. By what we say. And how many times, if you can bear witness, as you come into the house of God or anywhere, whether you have relationships at work, friends, even in your marriage, your home, that you spot out something, you say something in haste, and You know, in everything, if you're a Christian, it's before the Lord. The Lord sees everything. He sees everything. There's nothing hidden from His eyes. And this, there's much power in what you have to say. There's much power in your mouth. And tonight, what I want to take a deeper look at, and I want to start here because I thought it was important to set a foundation that when you come into the sanctuary, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. You can hear it twice as much as you say. It's very important. And so, to understand this, we have to, and as our brother preached on Sunday, that's why I thought it was fitting, you have to have some fear of God, some reverence. Understand that He's above, we're below. He's pure and holy and righteous, we're wicked and evil. So to be hasty and say anything quick before the Lord, well, you're going to have to give an account. And that's scary. Every single word that we have spoken, that we will speak, we'll have to give an account for. It'll either condemn you, as we'll look at tonight, or it'll deliver you. Every idle word, Jesus said, we're going to have to give an account for. I did some research. Turn with me to James, because that's going to be our text tonight. But I did some research on this. We're going to look at understanding the power of our tongue tonight. And I just wanted to see what was out there statistically. You know, and Google has everything. It's pretty scary what Google does these days. About 80% of the world's data is housed in Google. You start typing and it brings up the answer for you before you even get done. It starts thinking for you. It's pretty scary. But I wanted to see how many words you could possibly speak in a lifetime. And if there's any studies or statistics out there on what we could say. And I came across a few, and the average is we speak about 20,000 words a day, roughly. Boy, I know people who speak more than that in 10 minutes. these are just averages, rough. I don't know whether it's factual or not, so it's just opinion more than anything. But over the course of time, by the time you're 65, you have spoken over several hundred million words in your lifetime. That's a lot of words. That is a lot of words. There's power. It comes in many forms. You can look at the A-bomb, you can look at the nuclear weapons we have, you can look at the biggest, the most powerful armies on the planet. The United States is one of them. But boy, what about the tongue? How much power is in what we say? I heard a lot of prayers tonight as almost an affirmation of this message. We pray, we say things. We ask God to give us a word for loved ones, for co-workers, people that we're witnessing to. Words are powerful. And they also had an adage that used to say, well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You guys remember that little one? Boy, words do hurt. Words do kill. Words do bring mass destruction. In a word, 5 million Jews, boom, destroyed, killed. In a word. That's all it takes is somebody to say it. Words cause action. So, I hope tonight that the Lord, by His grace and by His Spirit, will give us some insight into understanding a little more in depth and the power behind what we say. And hopefully some insight into the answer to how we can tame what we say. Get it under control. I've said many things. I'm guilty. I'm first and foremost guilty before anybody. But how many things have you said in haste? How many things you said out of offense that came to you? You're going to be judged for that. We're going to be judged for that. So let's start in chapter 3. Of James. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. We turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Stop there for a minute. Within each of us, there are varying degrees of hatred, bitterness, envy, pride. And what happens is that tongue takes hold of these things. Remember, Jesus said, and we'll look at plenty of scriptures tonight, but Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The tongue, 3 inches in length, but boy, what a powerful weapon it is. And just think the things that you harbor, the envy, the bitterness, the hatred, and then you strike out and lash out at someone with it because they've offended you. And this is often with the sharp push from Satan. Somebody prayed it tonight. Remember, he goes about like a lion, roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But thank God we got Jesus who prays for us that our faith won't fail us, that we might endure. But this is powerful. But they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how a great forest, a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. We're in trouble. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Can you imagine the power behind your words when we speak them? James does a good job here, because in the context of this chapter, it's really in the whole crux of what he's been teaching up to this point. It's all about faith and works, still to this point. And then he throws this very dynamic chapter in the midst of it. God, by the Spirit, wants to show us something. And you wonder, why is this here? All of a sudden, he's been talking about faith and works. Well, I think you go back to James chapter 1, you can see the variance. Let's turn there for a second. Let's go back to James chapter 1 for a minute, if you will. A lot of verses in the Bible that he gives us. And I think it's very, let's see here. Verse 5. If any among you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all gifts to all liberally and without reproach. It will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, without doubting, for if he doubts, he's like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now, I come back to this particular point because the answer to the untamable tongue in one regard is seeking wisdom, divine wisdom. We have to ask God. I have to ask God to help me with what I say. And there are many scriptures that speak to this. Divine wisdom. That's why he ends that chapter with the difference between heavenly wisdom and demonic wisdom. Do you want to hang around gossipers? Well, the Bible speaks to that. Because the people you hang around and you take company with, you become like. Didn't we just hear that here recently? I thought it was kind of interesting. So back to James chapter 3. There's tremendous power in our tongue. We're going to go through this and we'll look at a few scriptures by God's grace. My brethren, verse 1, chapter 3, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Why does he start with teachers? I tremble. Let not many of you be teachers. There's a stricter judgment. Here's why. I believe James starts here. And he's talking about himself more than he is talking to his audience. It's because as a teacher, you have more direct influence over a mass of people. I don't envy pastor at all. It's a different judgment for him. And anyone who stands at this pulpit, including me, I stand for a stricter judgment. Why? Because of what I say. The influence I have. The words that you speak. This is why false teachers, God help them, pray for false teachers. It's not only what they do, it's what they said. Look how many followers follow Benny Hinn. Look how many people follow Joel Osteen. Not necessarily by what they do, but the influence of their words. There's a stricter judgment because of what they say and the influence they have on people. So James starts here, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Also, able also to bridle the whole body. Well, perfect, are we perfect? No. Nobody's perfect. There's only one, and that's Jesus. God is the only one that's perfect. We're being perfected. But here, this in the context, James talking about perfection is maturity. You arrive at a point of maturity when people can see the consistency by your speech, align with your conduct. That's what we want to portray as Christians. Let no one condemn your speech. Let no one condemn your actions. Peter talks about that. Boy, if you're rebuked for righteousness, praise God. If you're rebuked for your foolishness, that's a whole other thing in its entirety. But if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. So, James begins to get his arms around, number one, be careful what you say, especially if you're a teacher. Don't desire to be a teacher. There's a stricter judgment. And if you're going to teach, be very careful in what you teach. Make sure it's rightly divided according to the word of truth, not your own opinion. Because we all have plenty of opinions. And it gets us into trouble. It gets us into deep trouble. So, we're going to look at this. Let's look at a few scriptures. Turn with me to Proverbs 18. We'll come back there. Proverbs 18. Think about what you say and the millions of words that you speak and that have spoken already to this point in your life. Let's look at verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. It is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Verse 6. A fool's lips enters into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer, gossiper, are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. Remember, the tongue is a small member. In other words, it's a small part of your body, but is the most powerful thing you can have and use. Give an example. As an individual, I could physically go sin. I could be in a situation where I can physically sin. Okay? And there are times where that sin can be avoided because I'm not in that capacity or in that position to do it. Okay? But then there's nothing to tame the sin of your tongue. There's nothing. There's no position you cannot be in. There's nobody you cannot be in front of where you can't use this weapon to sin. That's scary. Remember, God, I think it was Abraham He spoke, I kept you from sinning against Me. God can withhold us from sinning against Him if He so deems necessary. But what about the mouth? What about your tongue? There's no control. There's no control over that. You could sin. There's no limitation, in other words, at how much we could sin with our mouths. None. It's pretty frightening. Jump with me over to verse 20. It's chapter 18. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. And we heard this scripture often. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you love to speak? You know, honestly, until I did this study, I loved to speak. I loved to talk. It was a gift. Trained all over the country, speaking in front of hundreds, thousands of people. It's a gift. But when wrongfully used, it could be abused. And I have to answer for that. And some of you know what I'm talking about. If you've done any type of jamming, you know, you've done type of training, you speak to people, you train, it's pretty frightening. And you have the power to say anything you want. So I ask God, you know, help me control what I do say. Help me control what I do say. Death and life are in the power of what we say. How so? Well, let's look at it spiritually for a second. And we're going to look at some more scriptures. What our tongue produces is eternal. There's eternal implications on what we say. It reveals, as Jesus said, what's in our heart. That's the foundation. That's the root of all evil. God said, I want to give you a new heart. Take out that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So spiritually, if we look at this, turn with me, well, I guess a better way to look at it instead of my opinion, let's look at Matthew 12. Jesus kind of goes into this a little bit, Matthew 12, spiritually. It's very spiritual. Let's see, 35, I believe. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? How can fresh water, salt water produce fresh, fresh produce salt? It just doesn't make sense. How can we, being evil, speak good things? How can we say nice things? For Jesus says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. It's stored up. Somebody wrongs you? Don't worry. It stores up. And then boom, if you don't address it right away, it explodes. It comes out. It lashes out. It begins to destroy. I've heard name calling. I've heard all sorts of things. I've called people names. I've said mean things to people. But where does it come from? It's spiritual. It's our condition. It's our condition. Go back with me to James and I'll show you why this is so spiritual. It's our condition. There's a very interesting passage in that passage that I read in James in a context that I want to look at. And I don't mean to bounce around, but hopefully this will make sense. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. Well, it's very hard. So depending on the translation that you have, whether it's in a Greek setting, the course of nature, the course is the beginning. Well, where did we begin? You know, you hear Pastor Bill always say, you can't go back far enough. When Adam sinned in the garden, unfortunately for you and I, it was imputed on us. We didn't ask for it. We're born into it. It's our nature. So from birth, it's already on a course. And what does it say? And it is set on fire by hell. Our tongue is set on fire. Think of it as a child when you're coming up and all of a sudden you hear your kids say something. Where did that come from? Where do you learn that? Who taught them to say that? You start scratching your head. It's the nature. It was from the beginning. It is from the beginning. And it's on its course. In other words, in order to have this habit broken, because it controls us, all of a sudden your actions begin to follow what you say. Your actions follow what you say, what you do. And so I believe it's very eternal and very spiritual because it's inside of you. The world works from the outside in. God's working on the inside out. While the outward man perishes, the inward man is to be renewed day by day. That's where God is. The world is concerned about how you look on the outside. And believe me, I've walked through the holy doors of God into this sanctuary, and I can look good to anybody, and so can you. But you're a mess on the inside. We can hide stuff from each other, but you can't hide anything from God. So it's deeply spiritual. The foundation, the seed of what you say comes from within. It's not an exterior thing. And we need a firm foundation in which to deal with this. So we need the power to control our tongues. And right now, what James tells us is we can turn the whole body. Verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouths. We need control. Here's another little study I did. Horse's mouth, a bit, a bridle, they call it. Back in about 1939, I saw this Belgian horse. It weighed over 3,000 pounds. One of the largest horses you would ever see. 3,000 pounds. He had a tiny little bit and controlled its whole body and where you want it to go. That's pretty massive. Looked up the largest ship. What does it say here in James chapter 3? These are big things. We turn the whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. I looked at, well, I'll just do some research, see what I find. Biggest ship ever. I can't remember what it's called. It was a funky name. The Kiev Novus or something like that. I don't know. But it was large. 1,503 feet long. Next to the Sears Tower, if you stood it up on its edge, it's just a tad shorter than the Sears Tower. That's insane. They've since beached it by 2009 or something. That's large. It weighed 267 gigatons. I don't even know what that is. I'm not a mathematician. That's heavy. The anchor is less than 1% size of that tanker. But you know what? Or the rudder, should I say, is less than 1%. But it can control it. It can control it. That tiny bit in that horse's mouth, 3,000 pounds of muscle, can control it. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how a forest, a little fire kindles? How many forest fires have we seen in our lifetime? Think of the California brush fires, hundreds of miles, possibly acres destroyed. Little kindle, little spark is all it takes. Mass destruction. But here's the key to all these things that I want to point out here that James brings out by giving us these three examples. They're all hidden You can't see it. Where's the rudder on the boat? Anybody know? Is it underwater? Is it above the water? Can you see it? Where's the bit when it's in the horse's mouth? Can you see it? I don't want to stick my head in there and find out. It's hidden, but yet it's got great control. You can turn it. You can steer it. What's in you? The Spirit. We have to relinquish control, don't we? The Spirit isn't necessarily visible to the naked eye, but people see God through our speech. People can see God through our actions. You can tell a lot about a person by what they what? Say. That's the old adage. By what they say. But these things are hidden, but yet they have, it's very small, but has a lot of control over something big. So here's what James says. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature from the beginning. It is set on fire by hell, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Well, you can condition creation. You can train. You can condition. But how about the tongue? But no man can tame the tongue. I'm in trouble if I cannot not tame what I say. I'm in trouble. It does what it wants. It says what it wants to say. It's very physical in its destruction. How? Well, just think of a jury. How many of you guys have sat on a jury? Anybody sat on a jury before? I have. It's kind of fun until you're in that position where you got to either convict or pronounce them innocent. But by a word, you can condemn a person to die. A judge, a jury, by a word. It's very physical. You don't have to necessarily attack somebody, but it's very physical. You can cause a person to be killed. Hitler did it. He was pretty successful at it. God allowed it. 5 million Jews. Words can save lives. If you need surgery, you go to a doctor. The doctor can do a diagnosis and say, you know what? Let's perform this surgery. Or if you get all these opinions and they say, no, we're not going to do it. You could be dead in the water. You know, you can give the call to go out and rescue that soldier. You just say the word. And there's action. Words can kill. Words can save. You can issue warnings. I like watching the weather. You can issue a warning. The weatherman says, we're going to have a big tornado. It's words. I can react to those words. I can prepare. The alarm is sounded. Somebody's told me something. How many times from this pulpit have we been warned? We're in the last days. We've never been outside of the times of the Bible. We're living it. The world has gone away from it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when somebody stands up and says, well, back in the Bible time, well, wait a minute. I still have mine. What do you mean back then? It still applies. It's still the same. It hasn't gone away. But the world has walked away from it. There's nothing different. We can give hope. Physical. We can give hope. You can encourage. You can build somebody up versus tear them down. I've torn a lot of people down. I have to answer for that. And if you've torn somebody down, you have to answer for that. Boy, we need help. So let's look at some more scripture. Enough of my opinion. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. I need control. You need control. We need that small thing that can tame something that's untamable. And understanding the power behind our what we say. Proverbs 15, verse 2. A tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, But the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The wise contrasted with the foolish. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. You can bring hope. You can build up. You can be life to someone. Someone, again, we were praying tonight. Give us words of life. Words are so important. You know how important it is? We wouldn't survive if we didn't have it. Communication is a necessity for life. Why do I say that? Well, number one, I've been given the voice to speak. But what about those who can't speak, who are deaf? Well, we got sign language. What about those who can't see? We got Braille. We need to be communicated to. That's our makeup. That's our nature. And if I don't have it, if I'm not able to be communicated to, I'm lost. What if God didn't communicate to us? That's our fear. What if God stops talking to you or me? I tremble. Think of the world who's oblivious to the judgment that awaits. God is speaking, but nobody's listening. He's communicating in every way possible to deliver this sin-sick generation. Through what? His Word. It's what He says. And it's powerful. And it's pure. It's holy. And what has the world done? They've twisted it. They've abused it. They've defiled it. They've become foolish. No God. Let us break our bands away from this God of the Bible. Let's do and say our own thing. It's scary. If we can control our tongue, beloved, we can have a controlled life. If I can control my tongue, I can have a controlled life. And you notice what I said. It's I. When really it's not I. It's He that is who's within me that gives me that ability. I can't. You can't. No matter how hard you try. You can't. I need the Lord. Jesus is the only one. His Spirit, that hidden thing that's in me that can control my life if I submit to it. God doesn't force you, but He does speak to you. He communicates to you. Turn with me to Proverbs 29. We're just going to look at scriptures. I just want to look at various aspects of this. Understanding the tongue. Proverbs 29. We need control because in verse 11 of 29, it says a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. A wise man also hears a matter before he answers. There's scripture after scripture. How do I be wise? How do I gain control? Well, we read it in the beginning. Be slow to speak. When you come into the house of God, listen first. Hear things first. Don't be so quick to respond. Even if somebody's condemning you, even if somebody's persecuting you, even if somebody's beating you over the head, don't be quick to speak and say something rash. There's a lot of things you and I can say to a lot of people. But we need to be wise. I want what I say to build up. I want what I say to be life to someone, not to condemn anybody. Because I myself was in the same position, and so were you before you came to know Christ. You were condemned. You were judged right where you stand. You were headed to hell in the handbasket. But God spoke to you and you listened. So too, when we speak to the world, we witness to the world. We got to listen first. See where they're at. Don't be so quick. You know, I study Scripture and I prepare all sorts of verses when I go witnessing or for an opportunity to witness. And you should have the knowledge. You should have the knowledge. Because there's a Scripture that says, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 16. Let my answer be from the Lord. But I got to listen intently. And then what I say can hopefully pierce their hearts and meet them right where they're at. But most of the time, because my brain works faster than that person talking. It thinks it works 10 times faster than somebody that's speaking. Off I shoot. My mouth goes right off the cuff and I say something. And I offend them. I offend a brother. Or I cut off somebody's ear because I've harshly spoken in my witness to them. So now they no longer can listen. But a wise man holds them back. A fool, off you go. I'll say whatever I want to say. These are my feelings. That's what happens. Turn with me back to James. Chapter 3. It's our nature. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird and creature in the sea is tamed and tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. Only God can. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Here's the contrast. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Is it possible that out of the same mouth, it says, proceed blessing and cursing? Can I bless God on Sunday? And on Monday, curse and say something brash and harsh? Absolutely. What does James say here? My brethren, these things ought not to be so. How can I curse and bless? There's a fight going on here. There's a controversy. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? And all this is on the cusp of what James said earlier. No man can tame the tongue. But here's the outcome of this. And should it be so? No. You see, if I'm going to control my tongue, if I'm going to be able to control what I say, first and foremost, I have to submit to God and Jesus. Number two, it has to be from a right foundation. I can't get better coming from the foundation of psychology. I can't get better if it comes from the foundation of man's philosophy or the wisdom of this age. You can't. You can't do it. It's impossible. It's just like, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? That's an impossibility. You can't. Can I get better? Where has psychology healed anybody? Still waiting. Where does philosophy get you? In a world of hurt. Where does the wisdom of this age? You know what? It's okay. You know, you say what you want to say. You speak your mind. Well, the Bible says if you do that brashly and harshly without thought, you're a fool. You are a plain out fool. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. I cannot be consistent and come off and show my faith. Remember, James, this whole chapter is about faith and works. I cannot show my faith and be inconsistent with what I'm saying. Faith and works go together. They're not apart from each other. They coincide. There's a consistency with them. People saw James's faith. They saw the disciples' faith. And therefore, the works that they portrayed, they aligned. What they said, everything aligned. There was no difference. They were very consistent. But they walked with our Master. But I'm walking with them too. So can I have the same luxury? Absolutely. As long as I submit to it. As long as I allow God to work in my life and work in your life. It's very emotional. I burn people. You burn people with what you say. It's that bitterness. It's fresh water. They can't yield both. So how do we fix this? How do we fix this? How do we transform? Well, God has given us a mouth for a reason. And I think the first reason He's given us a tongue, to use it rightly, is to preach the gospel. How should they hear when someone is sent? How should they hear unless somebody preaches, according to Romans? Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to speak the good news. Somebody's got to do it. I'm up for it. And with so many things in life, it's impossible as a man for me to control this thing. But I like the scripture in Matthew 19 that says, "But with God, all things are possible." With you and me, we're dead where we stand. But with God, all things are possible. So, here's some divine words for us to control this. Because I don't want the spring to yield both salt water and fresh from my mouth. I don't want to be inconsistent as a Christian. And that's hard. It's hard to be consistent. As long as I keep doing it in my own flesh, I will be inconsistent. But once I give it up to God and allow Him to drive, I'll be a little more consistent. And if I'm going to transform my tongue, first of all, I got to abide by Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. I can't know any other way. I have to be transformed. I have to give it to God. Because if my mouth goes, it goes. And at times there's no stopping it. Somebody's got a timer on me, so I better watch what I say. I had to throw that in there. If you're ever persecuted, Matthew 10. Three more scriptures. Matthew 10. If you're ever persecuted, if somebody's offends you, if somebody's condemning you, saying all sorts of mean things about you, the Lord tells us what's coming, and we're all going to be tested. The world is, the persecution is here. Matthew 10, verse 19. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. Remember, the brain thinks 10 times faster than the person who's speaking to you. So you're already gathering your thoughts on what you're going to say. But the Bible says the opposite. A wise man hears first. You're not trying to think ahead of what a person's talking to you. And when I'm delivered up and I've been persecuted, I've been put on the spot, and I have an opportunity to glorify God, I need to be wise. And God tells me how to do that. Listen. And then when I'm about to speak, don't worry. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Remember that little control that's in you. I'm not going to worry about what I'm going to say. If I'm walking in the Spirit of the living God, He's going to give me the words to speak. And I have to trust Him. I have to have faith. It puts away all the bitterness, envy, like I said at the beginning, the self-seeking, the envy. All of that stuff is sensual, as James puts it, and it's very demonic. But God says, don't worry. You're going to be delivered up. You're going to be put on the spot. And I'm going to speak through you. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. How can I transform my tongue? I have to guard it. Verse 23. 22. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. You guard it. Be careful what you say.
Think before you speak. The wise man hears a matter and considers it before he answers. Guard it. Don't be so quick-witted. Oh, I'm going to show that person. I'm going to tell them, give them a piece of my mind. Okay, you go right ahead. Just remember, every idle word that you speak, you will have to give account for on the day of judgment. And by the way, as Christians, we're not exempt from that. Yes, we have a different judgment than the world does. But still a fearful thing to have every single word I've ever spoken examined before the Lord. That's pretty scary. That's frightening. If that doesn't strike the fear of God in you, almost nothing will. And think about how much we talk on a daily basis. Me and my brother today were talking. We got pretty quiet. Not going to say too much here. Because you have to be careful. We got to really consider these things as we're talking. We have to guard our mouths and tongue. And it keeps us out of trouble. It keeps the persecution away as well. And last one, Matthew 12. Matthew 12. And it's what I've been quoting a little bit tonight throughout. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And there's a psalm, I think it's 141. It says, set, O Lord, over my mouth a guard. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, and keep watch over my lips. Boy, that's not a prayer you often say or hear. Even when I go before the Lord in prayer, I shouldn't be so quick to say anything. Just to sit in His presence and listen to Him. Maybe He has something to say to me. I'm so quick to bring my petitions before God. And I think we have to be careful, beloved, because we're in a time where the world is going to press in against us. And this is why I believe this is so heavy on my heart. Be careful what you say. Those who are of the truth hear my voice. Jesus got to a point, He didn't say anything more. He stopped talking. You heard me preach openly. But then you get to a point, they don't hear anymore. We have to know when that is. And how am I going to know? God will guide me. His Spirit that lives within me. He says, I'll never leave you and forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of this age. I will guide your every step. I will put the words in your mouth that you're to speak. I will guard your lips so you don't say anything in haste. I will cause you to be patient. I will cause you to build up and not tear down. I will cause you to love and not hate. And those that hate you, don't worry. They don't hate you. Remember, they hated me first. And I'm with you. And he that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. So I have a comfort. And I want to give you that comfort. Remember, wisdom that James spoke of in the end comes from above. It's pure. It's a right foundation. It doesn't produce salt and fresh water. It's just fresh. It's pure. It's life. There's no contrast. There's no contradiction. But if you don't get it under control, hey, the only thing I can tell you is what Jesus said. Look forward to the day of judgment. You're going to give an account for every single word you've spoken. Every negative word. Even the positives will be examined in the light of God. Nothing hidden. That's huge, beloved. So I pray that you take this to heart. As muddled as it was very difficult for me. And I know, first and foremost, I'm convicted heavily by it. because I talk a lot. And I ask God for grace and His help. And those of us that have a chance to speak often, reconsider. Ask God for grace and mercy that He might see you through and speak through you when you do speak, so you don't say anything that tears somebody down or destroys. It's very powerful. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us, O Lord. Help us understand this small but yet powerful weapon that we have, that we yield and wield at every turn possible when it's out of control. Lord, we ask for the help of Your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask for the help of Jesus. Lord God, that You would just glorify Your name. Fill our hearts. Fill our mouths with good things, Lord, to speak. Father, fill our mouths with things that would edify each other and build up and not tear down. Lord, let us be slow to speak, but quick to listen. And Lord, as we're in Your house tonight, Lord, let us not hastily make any vows before You. Because on that day, Lord, and we know it's coming, we will have to give account to You, the one we have to answer to, for every idle word that we've spoken. So, Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, Lord, that You would help each one of us, Lord God, control this powerful, seemingly untamable thing that You've given us. But, Lord, we look to You, the author and finisher of our faith, which will never fail. You're the anchor of our soul. Keep us, Lord God. Deliver us from this world of iniquity, Lord God. And we'll give You the praise and glory both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.